Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bull to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million.
Well, hello, Mark Banks, Jackson Jackson. Tom Holly's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures, we have them up 27. Dow futures up 305. NASDAQ futures up 40. Everything's a celebration. We're getting the gang back together again. Everything is a celebration. We've got nothing but vaccines. We don't know if they work, but we got nothing but vaccines. So the market should
Chief, I thought the first thing you would mention would be Janet Yellen, your old friend.
I can't even go there. I don't even. What is with the we're getting the old gang back together here? What was so good about the old gang?
I think the reason he's going for the folks he's going for is because they've all been pretty unanimously approved by Senate, including many of the senators who are currently in Congress.
Okay. That's interesting. I don't understand what well, first of all, I'm one of these guys that has no, I won't say no. I have this Irish memory. You understand the deal, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When she was, we have a contributor to the show. He hasn't been in a while. He was one of the guys who would go to the original press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if anybody remembers back. I wasn't the only person who was noticing that every time a Fed announcement came out, there was always trading before it, right? I mean, come on. So they actually had an investigation, allegedly. The Fed said they'd do themselves into people front-running their announcements and speeches and stuff, right? So the thing is ongoing, but, of course, nobody would get any information on it. So it was one of those, you know, give it to committee like Mayor Daley used to do. And so our man Pedro, in one of the meetings, asked the question, what is the status of the investigation and all the front-running? All that stuff, and you could see Janet react like your old aunt. You know, she just was pissed off. You could just see it on her face, and mm-hmm. didn't answer the question. And Pedro's, I think was he Wall Street Journal at the time, Minnie? He got the Wall Street Journal got a call. He was never invited back, and eventually he was let go from the Wall Street Journal. And you know what? I think, in my view of America, that sucks big time. So bad, I can't even go there. And I haven't been able to really watch one of these news conferences. So, Janet, aren't you like the best Secretary of the Treasury there ever been? Well, I wouldn't be saying. I mean, those got to be the questions. I mean, what are we doing here, Brendan?
Mm-hmm.
It all just sets into the same. And she never saw a bank she didn't want to give money to. And she's a huge proponent of the trickle-down theory. She never concerned about dropping interest rates to zero when everybody else is paying more. She has zero contact, in my mind, with anybody who's not one of the elite, or a banker, or a college president, or professor. I have zero use for the lady. Zero.
I knew you'd be a strong supporter.
You know, whatever. But she's not alone. It's not like the rest of the group the guy's putting together is in the same way. Mm-hmm. I mean, they think the Obama team was special. The Obama team lied about inflation.
I do think first that the experience level of the people coming in is broader and wider than what Trump put in office when he first came in. And I do think that there's an element of this that they want to be able to get through the Senate relatively unscathed and without too much controversy.
That part I get, but I'm going to say I was never a massive fan because he was Mr. Goldman. The guy ran his own firm, was with Goldman. The background between of of how the stuff works on both ends between Munchkin and her is night and day.
Mm-hmm.
I think. That doesn't mean I like, you know, I'm a fan of Munchkins, but I'm just saying. But now you have the Fed. Jerome Powell is pouring money into the system whenever the market's supposed to cheer these people. And that's the last mm-hmm. thing you need. I want this all to go away. I don't want these people manipulating the market. I don't want our cash going for stuff like that. I just, you know, but nobody's listening to us, Brendan. So what's the point?
I mean, exactly. That's why I think that we should have a petition to talk to Joe about getting you appointed to the Fed board.
But it would never want me, and I wouldn't want to be there. I mean, you're never supposed to look out the limo at the other side of the street. Right? But they're into this routine that you just print more money and send it at it. You use it for political reasons, you use it for, you know, all kinds of reasons. And, I sort of just had it. I watched, you know, and it's a good thing. I mean, I know we have some clients that own Target, for instance. The thing is up every friggin' day, Brenna. Normally, I would say, this is terrific. This is America. Stuff's supposed to go up. Yet, other places are hurting so bad they still can't get back open in some areas, or nobody will go there. And we favored two or three places to the point where you got no place to. You got Fed pouring money in, it has to go somewhere, and you have half the economy closed. I mean, what are we doing? This is like something. If you take it in its entirety, it's crazy. It's just crazy. And I don't know what the upshot of it is. I mean, I don't know what the ending is. I mean,
yet the market is still going up. When you started the show this morning, you talked about the market going up.
We have I'll find it here. I have an email from one of our terrific clients. Not clients. Actually, I think he might be a client. I'm not positive. But he definitely is a listener. And he sent something about the Argentinian market. Well, no, Lee sent it to me. As soon as their inflation started, the market's been straight up. So, I mean, the Weimar Republic, Iran, Venezuela, Argentina, now us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you double the amount of money in the system, now the Fed's bitching and moaning at Munchkin because they want this $4.3 trillion of authorization to do what? Oh, here is the Argentinian stock market. The Merval index is currently at over 50,000. In 2008, it was at 1,000 as their currency's dropped for 12 years. So does that mean?
Well, how long do you think it's going to take until there is some change in the monetary policy?
Until there's a crisis. Not until there's a crisis. I'm absolutely convinced of that. I've been somewhat convinced of that for a while, and I kept saying, don't be that much of a knucklehead. It can't be that bad. These people can't be that bad. But now I'm absolutely convinced there has to be a crisis. So, somebody somewhere, just like in August of 1982, when I forget the guy from Solomon, although he wasn't the only one, all of a sudden on one day in August, the guy came out and said, you know, you might want to buy the market. These interest rates are going to start to go down. And all of a sudden, everything just turned on a dime. I mean, one of these days, somebody, might be somebody like Mnuchin who has some credibility, I don't know how much, but somebody coming out here is going to say, hey, look, we've been lying about this inflation forever. All we're doing is devaluing our currency, and it's helping these three or four groups and nobody else. If somebody comes up with something like that, we might all of a sudden get a wake up Susie moment or something. Because
what do you consider a crisis? Because it looks like we're heading for a couple of crises right now. The one you talked about with inflation, the economy in the tank because, or potentially in the tank, or going into the tank because of the COVID and the shutdowns. So what is the crisis that you're looking for?
I'm going to say that the people who haven't gotten a raise in 20 years, if they're faced with 10% inflation on top of what you're giving them right now, you might as well stick a knife in somebody and twist it.
Mm-hmm.
70% of our population is absolutely not ready for 10% inflation. Absolutely not ready. And I think the whole way we communicate with people, Brendan, and the whole way we have our people that do the financial news, you can't, in my mind, I mean, I don't care how much money you're making on CNBC or whatever, and how many degrees you have, probably more than mine, And you can't sit there and run a huge story one day about how toilet paper, paper towels, and everything else is up 25% on the year. Then the next day you're jumping up and down naked, cheering that Walmart's same-store sales are up 6%, and don't tie the two together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now I'm looking at Home Depot. Their prices, their same-store sales are up somewhat here, yet inputs to residential construction in the last year are up what, 10%? And yet the same-store sales are up 6? Mm-hmm. Softwood lumber prices since April of 2020 are up 33%, and now we're at the end of the year. Some of that has to do with the Japan or the Canadian exchange rate, but gypsum prices since 2012 are up, where are they? They're up 60 or 70% in 8 years. Now, I'm sure you're not going to see that anywhere in a CPI. So, I mean, this stuff just keeps grinding through there. I mean, you're talking about if you do a remodeling from your house now from earlier in the year, the lumber is up 35% in mm-hmm. 9 months. And yet we're going to, I'm not asking for people to do your thinking for you, everybody. I think when you say, wow, damn it, those Home Depot guys, same store sales are up 5%. Of course, you know that the price of average lumber is up 30. Well, mm-hmm. it clearly is part of the story, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
But it's not right now. It absolutely is not.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since, you know who educated me on this? To the episode, I mean, I kind of sort of already knew, I guess, kind of sort of. How's that for a Southside term? But the guy who absolutely put it the deer in the headlights for me on withholding information in an intelligent manner is probably worse than a flat-out lie. And you know who did that to me? Your hero.
Who's that?
Sammy Sosa.
Ah, Sammy.
When he gave his testimony in front of Congress, I was crying. It was so beautiful. I have never injected myself with steroids, and I've never broken the laws of the U.S. or the Dominican Republic.
I've always taken just Flintstone vitamins.
He never just said that. He never said he didn't pop
pills.
Well,
he did say that, not in front of Congress, but
right.
He said that to the newspaper reporters here in Chicago.
But he never said I didn't take pills in Mexico. He never said that. I mean, what are we talking about? I mean, they never broke the law, so there was probably some drug that wasn't banned at the time. And clearly he was afraid of needles, which I can understand. I don't want somebody jamming me with needles in the locker room. But everybody will tell you that, hey, man, Sammy said he never took steroids. No, he didn't. Did he?
Nope. That's not what he said. You're right. Exactly right.
And so?
A well-crafted statement drafted by a good lawyer.
Yeah. And you're sitting there going, I could have done that. I'm an attorney. I could have done it better. You know, you guys
just
are.
Like the statement, just like the statement last night from Trump about the transition. Did you read that?
I did not. I was watching a football game.
There's no way in the world that Donald Trump wrote that statement that tweet.
No, but it's
even though it went out in his name, there's no way in the world that he wrote that tweet.
Well, you know, he would be one of the most interesting creatures. When I mentioned yesterday, as we're trying to find that show. If he became the loyal opposition, and just for the next 4 years, if he intended to run again, and actually straighten himself out, like a Richard Nixon, you know, got himself back together without all his tweets and stuff, and came in with a decent program, he'd be a formidable force 4 years from now.
Well, he would be a formidable force, but I don't think that's absolutely possible. However, I think whether he changes or not, he's going to be a formidable force in the Republican Party for at least the next 2 years, if not the next 4 years. And unlike Richard Nixon had a somewhat of a moral compass. It was pointed in the wrong direction, but he was true to his values below the whole thing. Trump is amoral and has no compass.
Right, oh yeah,
and
he's amoral.
Has no concept of a plan. When he talks about for the good of the country, he means for the good of Donald Trump.
Oh, sure. But I will say that I was out Saturday night. Now I know what it feels like to have been at a speakeasy, Brendan. I was at a place that was open and wide open and very good. And, of course, it's so we say it's a far south side place. And Everybody out of my mouth, they either listen to the show or they know about Notre Dame. It's like talk about, you know, whenever I go in there, which isn't very often, it's like all home week. And I tell you what, there are a lot of Trumpers in there. A lot of Trumpers. And,
oh, yeah.
And everyone was a former
Democrat.
Would you
say this is the far south side? Is this in Will County?
No. No, it would be in Cook County.
Oh, okay. Okay. I do know a lot of people who are out in that area, well, as you might guess, coming from the south side that are out that area, and I know that there's a heavy Trumper influence out there.
And all those people used to be Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm going to say, as you know, my thing is now that I just listen and learn rather than criticize. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's all exactly the same thing. They don't like the man. It's not like they would rather sit there and talk to Trump instead of me. I hope not. That's
not possible. I don't think anybody would rather talk to Trump than talk to you.
I don't know. You never know. Just to say, well, a lot of people like that celebrity stuff, and we're not exactly celebrities, even though we play one on TV. We play one on TV.
On
we play one on the radio. It's all the same thing. We can't stand the guy, but by the way, he's the one person who will call somebody out on something that matters to me. And he understands how crooked this world is because he's been on my side of the fence, even though he's...
Yeah, but he's never been on their side of the fence.
In the sense of dealing with politicians, in the sense of knowing how slimy the rest of them are, that kind of thing. I mean, the guy paid him off for 80% of his life, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
And he understands that they're not... That you don't become a Lori Lightfoot or a Jay Pritzker where you get elected and all of a sudden you're smarter than everybody else, you know everything, and you have this mandate to do God knows what. And everybody's going, well, who are you? Mm-hmm. Who are you? Where did you just get so smart last week? Type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, in terms of knowing what's wrong and how people are stealing, he has way more sense than Joe Biden. There's no comparison. Mm-hmm. No comparison. Joe's never been anything. When's the last time Joe got a paycheck other than the government? It's legal. Ever?
Well, he had to get something in the last 4 years because he wasn't drawing. Well, he was probably drawing a pension from the government in the last 4 years.
He had a vice president's pension. Plus, the wife wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And she makes money.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You get.
Yes.
But I'm saying in terms of when was the last time he actually, as much as, you know, Trump had... places go under, and he's, you know, I never liked him as an owner. I mean, like I said, there's really nothing about the guy that I like. Simple fact is, he's been on the other side. You're not going to see Joe Biden guaranteeing a loan for any place. Are you?
No. You know, well, he might now, but he wasn't, you're right, he wasn't in a position of operating a business or trying to build a business venture. Or using the system to his advantage.
And where does Janet Yellen have any idea what you and I go through on a daily basis? She's mm-hmm. a tenured professor. She gets out of the limousine to become a Fed chairman, and now she's going to do this. Where is her view of the people that I was with on Saturday night?
Mm-hmm. No, I understand your point.
And the thing that pisses everybody off is that Trump had the opportunity to do something, and he tripped all over his own toes. Because mm-hmm. it was because of his own personality.
Yeah.
Instead of...
He should have waltzed into a second term. He really should have waltzed.
But he also should have done it in a way...
He should have done what Sidney Powell claimed he had done, which was won with 70% of the vote.
Well, yeah, and I think he should have been the Richard J. Daley, not Richard M., where mm-hmm. the subtle use of power. And... where if he started, you know, talking about an issue and somebody from Congress came up and said, well, you know, we were disagreeing with you 100%. He didn't break any of the big rules. I'll tell you what, I'd be merciless. I'd be absolutely merciless, Brendan. Not in terms of people's personality, but the fact is he got in there without using a lot of corporate money, all right? And he was too dumb to ever to not use that sword.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Brendan from the Senate on the Democratic side criticized me personally or something, and I'm in the Oval Office, I'm gonna kick up my machine or have one of my flunkies do it, assistant, sorry, That's a Southside term. And say, okay, where exactly did Brennan get all his money? Gee, it looks to me like he got a $100,000 check from Pfizer. And the next time I see you on the TV, I'm going to tweet out or whatever. I wouldn't be a tweet guy. At my next news conference, I say, you know, I'm getting an awful lot of heat from this Brennan Carnan guy. You know, I kind of like Brennan. He's been a pretty good senator. But, you know, on this issue about his drugs, I don't think Brennan's worth a crap. Because Brennan got a $100,000 check from Pfizer. He's not talking about himself. He's talking about what they paid him to do. He's just a paid stooge on this subject. Whereas I didn't get any money from Pfizer. So you can disagree with me, but you can't say that I'm a paid stooge like he is.
Yeah, you're not in the pocket.
Yeah.
Although I don't think that argument would have held very well with Trump given his characteristics.
No, but I'm saying, like Richard J. Daley, it was the subtle use of power. All you got to do is do that one time. Do it one time and do it properly and don't call, and do it in a way where everybody knows what you're talking about, and the next time some senator is going to criticize you, he's going to check his receipts before he does.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And that's also the same kind of a tool that Mike Madigan learned.
Right.
The difference between somebody like Trump and somebody like Daley or Madigan is the way that they flaunt their power and what they have. I mean, Daley, until he died, lived at 35th and Low in a small bungalow. Mike Madigan lives in the Southwest Side over near Westlawn Park in a corner house that fits right in with the neighborhood. He still lives there. You know, he doesn't have the big mansions. He doesn't have his own corporate jet. That was the other way that they avoided a lot of the flack from the power that they held.
Well, he was not.
They didn't flaunt it.
Well, Daley wanted power. He didn't want money. The people around him wanted money, and they all got it. And he could count on it.
Tom Keene.
Yeah.
Look at what happened with Tom Keene and Matt Danaher and all the other guys who were around him. They wanted the money, and they wanted the trappings. And you're right. Well, I think Madigan's in the same thing, the same ballpark, that he wants the power. He doesn't really want the money. Now, Madigan gets a lot of money because of his law firm and dealing with tax deductions, property tax deductions in his law firm. But, you know, we're talking about a different type of character than we had with Donald Trump.
They have a lot of money, but the secret, the Chicago way, in the words of the dear departed recently, Sean Connery, the Chicago way is to make sure that you have money in other people's pockets.
Mm-hmm.
So if Brendan Cornan's cousin gets a contract on the Dan Ryan that all of us know should have been $20 million, and yet it's 22.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's $2 million there that I can't say I can access the whole $2 million, but there's no doubt when the phone rings and says, you know, we like this Matty Weber kid for judge, and he's running this thing tonight. It's $50 a ticket. We could sure use 5 or 10 tickets. The money's there, and it's not coming from me.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming, not really coming from you. It's coming from your nephew or whoever the hell got the contract. You know?
Yeah, it may not be liquid assets, but it's there.
It's there. And it doesn't look like you're giving people money, you're not doing anything, but you have money, it's just in other people's pockets and it can't be traced to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the genius of it. It's way better than a check from Pfizer, right? I mean,
It is.
Brennan, we might need you back this week. Who knows? We got people coming and going Thanksgiving week. Where are you here? Are you in Michigan? Where are you?
I'm in Michigan right now. It's
is it snowing there?
Over here right now because we're in the middle of the woods, but we have internet over here. We've got Wi-Fi service on the phone, so I'm all good over here.
Do you have snow? We have snow on the south side today.
No snow today.
Not yet.
I saw that there was supposed to be snow in Chicago overnight and this morning. I think you guys are getting 3 inches, and it probably will come this way. We're also far enough in from the lake that it's, you know, we don't get lake effect snow this far in. We're about 20 miles inland. But we expect some snow maybe later on today.
One of these days, I'll tell you what the young ladies on Division Street way back in the day used to say, that snow is a lot like sex, but I won't say that on the air. What are these days? SP Futures up 21, SP Futures up 24. Brendan, thank you. Come back with Mr. Joel on Cannon.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox. The control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. He's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. As Dave Scantina is here as well, as we're ganging up on the board today. S&P futures, like I said, they're up 23. NASDAQ futures up 27. Dow futures up 286. The Trump tweeted out last night, or somebody did, that they're going to begin the transition. So every day we have a little bit of a celebration on something here. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 120.9%. FTSE up 64.1%. CAC around up 66.1.2%. We're in Asia, we got the Nikkei up 638, that's a lot, 2.5%. Shanghai down 11.3%, they're the only ones down. Hang Seng up 80.3%. Just as a way of review, yesterday Dow was up 327, S&P was up 20, NASDAQ was up 25. Bonds, 0.86, they're not celebrating, they're not doing anything, they're stuck at 0.86. Bund minus 0.57, same thing there. Japan positive 0.03, so that's a 1 basis point uptick. Oil. Up 38 cents, 43.44. Brent up 33 cents, 46.39. Natural gas up 2 cents, 273. RBOB up 2 cents, 122. Natural gas is still down from being over $3. I guess, you know, it's snowing, it had air today. It's not that cold. Gold down $27, 18.10. It's a full percent and a half. Silver down 34 cents, 23.29. Copper up 5 cents, 3.31. I would never, ever have guessed. Obviously didn't play it this way, unfortunately. I would never have guessed that the precious metals would be heading south and copper going up here, with China having some trouble now and everything else, but that's what's happening. It's exactly what you sort of, I didn't expect, but sure wish I would have. Who's ever doing traffic, weather, sports, what do we got?
Good morning, Chief. I've got it. 35 minutes past the hour. We're having some weather here in Chicago, especially to the south and southwest, with some snow accumulation, and it's affecting our roadways. Tollways and expressways. We have a couple of crashes to report. Tri-State southbound between 127th and the CalSag Bridge. There's an accident blocking the left lane. and that's causing some issues. We also have a crash on I-355 down Southwest, Chief. The Veterans Memorial northbound at 135th, there is a crash. So if you're coming in from the south side or southwestern suburbs, there's expect some slower traffic because of the snow accumulation that has hit down there this morning. Up north, it's flurrying, but no snow accumulation yet. Could get up to 1 to 2 inches throughout the area today before it warms up later on this morning and should melt everything. Weather today will be cloudy with snow showers early, rain the rest of the day, a high of 44. Right now it's snowy and 36 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, clear with a high of 72. Right now it's sunny and 53, or clear and 53, going up to a sunny high of 72. In sports, Monday Night Football, it was a pretty good game last night, Chief, between the Bucs and the Rams. And the Rams upset Tampa Bay on the road, winning 27-24. Tom Brady and the Bucs had the ball late to try to tie the game or take the lead. And then Brady overthrew a receiver and threw an interception. And that sealed it for the Rams, who are now 7-3. Bucs dropped to 7-4.
Chief. Both two solid playoff teams, I would say. Individual stocks in the Dow, Boeing was up a bunch yesterday. It's up another 570 today, so it's shooting it down to the upside. Oil stocks, too. We've got Chevron is up 245, and we've got, where's the other one? Exxon, it's always in the wrong spot because it's got the, I'll find it here somewhere. Well, maybe I won't. Anyway, we've got Walmart up 53 cents. We got Nike up 243, of all things. And we've got Home Depot up $1.90. So individual stocks in the Dow, the only thing down I see there is Microsoft. On 24 cents. So, Joel, are you with us, buddy?
Good morning, Chief. How you feeling?
I'm doing all right. Hey, you guys beat Rutgers.
Hell yeah. I hope your listeners listened and they took the points. Did Matty Ice take the points? I sure hope he did. I told you guys to take the points.
Take Rutgers and the points.
Yes. 12.5. I mean, yeah, I wish I could pull the trigger betting against my alma mater, but man, that would have been the best of both worlds.
I can't.
They won and they covered, but still not looking good. Major injuries up and down the offensive and defensive line. Maybe we have a quarterback. I don't know. But you know what tomorrow is?
Wednesday?
Basketball season.
Yeah.
We are a basketball school. So basketball season starts. Looking forward, Juwan's second year.
Yeah, you know, he did a nice job his first year, I thought.
Yeah, he did, and, you know, the transition, I mean, who knows how we would have done in the tournament.
Yeah.
There's some turnover in the squad, but, you know, we got Isaiah Livers, Franz Wagner coming back, a couple experienced guards, one guy transferred in from Wake Forest, one guy transferred in from Columbia. But that's not what your listeners want to hear about. They want to hear how the market just goes up, Chief.
We really have not. You know what, Joel? We had 2 days last week where we fell apart pretty seriously on the close. I mean, Friday night, and yesterday was really the make back from Friday night. Same thing happened on Wednesday, but it seems like whenever something happens that benefits either, you know, the old guard or whatever.
Yeah,
we still, I think, are benefiting from the bazillion dollars that were put in the day before the election. And I think the Fed is, you know, cheering Janet Yellen as Secretary of Treasury. I got a question for you. Maddie Weber asked me on the way in. Who's more powerful, the Secretary of the Treasury or the Federal Reserve Chairman?
You know, that's an excellent question. I think I'd have to go... I think I'd have to go with the Treasury Secretary, right?
I was thinking that this morning. Maddie asked me, I'm supposed to know this stuff, and I said I'm going to ask everybody else. It depends on the personality. I mean, they both have such dramatically different roles that if they're aggressive in their role, they can almost minimize the other person just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? If the Federal Reserve guy refuses to go along with the Secretary of the Treasury, I suppose in the end, you know, he would win. I mean, right now, if you know, and this is going to happen with Janet Yellen because she and this Powell guy are attached to the hip. But if all of a sudden, you know, the Trump administration, if they were still there, decided to have some sort of a large infrastructure program for $1 trillion. They can't borrow that money now in the crisis we're in. The only way you're going to get it is if the Fed prints it and goes and buys those bonds. So I guess in this particular situation, if the Fed chairman said, screw you, I'm not doing that, he could torpedo the whole program. But in normal times, I'm guessing the Secretary of Treasury is probably more, because he controls the IRS, he controls a lot of other things you don't even think he controls. But in this current time, I mean, right now, if the Fed chairman says, I'm not printing anymore, I think the whole thing falls apart. So right now, the Fed chairman probably is. But normally, I'd say the Secretary of the Treasury is. Is that a dumb answer?
No, that's a good answer. I'll just throw one caveat in there, and that would be that the head of the Federal Reserve has to deal with, the others on the, on the board, the other governors and stuff, so it's not so much of a unilateral decision. I'm sure a very important part of the decision-making process, whereas the Treasury Secretary, gets its mandate and, doesn't, gets it from the, the president, and then, they both have checks and balances. I'd say it's a toss-up. I like your explanation. I like mine, too.
What, I'm not going to hold you to a meeting. When's the real last time that anybody in the six people or everybody vote on the Federal Reserve? It's the governors, which are what? Is it six or eight? And then there's the New York Fed, who's always a voting member, and then there's then the rest of them rotate. Has there ever been a time where the federal chairman, or when was the last time, the Fed chairman says, I want to lower or raise the interest rate, and the group voted him down, him or her?
The group as a whole?
Yeah, I'd say never.
I can't remember that. I mean, there's definitely been some dissenters over the years, but no, never turned down.
Plus, I don't think that... The day-to-day stuff, Joel, I'm not even talking about the crap they're doing now where they're buying entire issues of, with CRD numbers. This is totally otherworldly, but just the normal, let's sell, $20 million worth of bonds on a Monday morning from the New York Fed to just maintain the money supply where it is. I don't think that goes to the board. I mean, I think the chairman can just direct the head of the Fed, president of the New York Fed, and actually Chicago does some of that now too. I mean, I think he could do an awful lot of stuff on his own without talking to those people.
I agree. Yep. I agree with you on that.
Well, when, if ever, are we gonna have our come to Jesus meeting on this inflation, where you're actually gonna have somebody tie together the 30% rate raise in lumber in this year with Home Depot's 6% on same store sales and put them in the same news report?
This is discussing with a buddy of mine yesterday. What's the biggest part of a family's budget, right? It's their house, their home.
Yep.
And what have housing prices done? I look at the value of my house and properties in the area, and you cannot tell me there's not inflation there. As long as they continue to use that concocted formula, to figure out inflation, then that's what it's going to be. The problem is when, everything else catches up, it's going to be too late. But you know what people like? They like inflation. They like inflation in the stock market.
Well, that's right. Except the four places that have had the world's greatest stock market, I would say, would be the Weimar Republic, Iran, Venezuela, and Argentina. How'd they do?
I don't know. What's inflation rate in Argentina like?
The stock market's gone from like 1,000 to 50,000 in the last 12 years.
Yeah. I know, Chief. We talk about it, but you know what? What are you going
to
do?
Well, the only way you can get away with it is to absolutely not care about 50% of your population or 60%. And I think these people don't care. I mean, you're right. When you talk about inflation in a house, virtually everybody who's a homeowner will say that's a good thing. Anybody trying to buy one, somebody younger, or, with student loan debt, or somebody who's rented his whole life and decides, okay, I'm going to go buy a house, nobody cares about it. Their story doesn't get told, Joel. Nobody cares about them.
Nope.
It doesn't.
I don't know if the change in administration is going to change that either.
I'm going to say to a certain extent, it could easily make it worse. There's none of these people that I see this guy putting in there, him or Janet Yellen, have ever impressed me as a bottom-up sort of person. And Janet Yellen is the most incredible, allegedly Democrat, trickle-down person I've ever seen. Take care of the banks, take care of the big people, and everybody will be okay. That's what she showed all her years in the Fed to me. Now, I don't know if you saw something else, but I didn't.
No. And she's not. I mean, hopefully with the market, it'll be more of the same for the next 4 years. Just trying to get through 2020.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
through 2020.
What do we got? Six weeks to go.
And then 2021. How many trading days do we have? I don't know how many. What's that? Thanksgiving? Let's take care of Thanksgiving first. Let's get through, the COVID. I mean, the only thing I'll say market-wise is, the last three Mondays, we've had good vaccine news. The other two Mondays, it sold off, and, through the remainder of the week. Today is trying to buck the trend a little bit. So it'd be interesting to see if we can hold these gains. Traditionally, we're in a, Thanksgiving, holiday week. The market's a little bit thinner, but traditionally it moves higher over that week.
I would agree. Joel, thank you very much, buddy. S&P futures up 25. S&P futures up 32. Come back with Mr. Kenny Polcari.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body, too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate this summer, could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Money, get away, get a good job with your pay
and your own. Hello and welcome to Jacks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Matt Weber, Mr. Dave Scatina doing a tandem on the board this morning. SP Futures up 26,
As that future's up 29, happy days are here again. Janet Yellen's back, and so is Kenny Pulcheri, Janet Yellen's biggest fan. Are you going to be part of her new administration over there?
I should hope so. I'm waiting for my phone to ring. It hasn't rung yet. I thought maybe when you guys were calling this morning, that was really the White House calling me, but I guess not.
Are you going to call right from Janet? You'll be Under Secretary of the Treasury for Markets or something.
I might be getting a call from Janet, although I don't think she's got my number. I should tweet it out to her.
Yeah, just say, hey, in case you're looking for me, here I am.
Listen, I think it's good news. I think the market clearly thinks it's good news. As not only the former Fed chair, but now, and she's worked with Powell at the Fed, and now to be the Treasury Secretary. I think the market views that as being clearly positive. Right, they're embracing it. I think they view it also as being a focus on the economy versus, you know, having a Treasury Secretary in there that might be more focused on real regulatory changes that may have been not so well received. So I think, you know, at the moment, it's all positive, right? And you add that to the virus news and the vaccine news and surging oil prices and people looking through the vaccine, and you see the Dow futures are up another 300 points or 250 points this morning, as markets around the world surge as well, right? European markets are all up better than 1%. Asian markets close high with the exception of China, which has really had a fantastic run. So that's just kind of churning a little bit. But for the most part, I think at the moment that the market views it as positive. I do, though, think that it's not paying enough attention to what's going on in Georgia and that Senate race, because I think that could change. Even though the White House transition team, even though that seems to be, you know, also moving along in good fashion, which is another positive, because I guess, you know, the sense is that Trump is kind of thrown in the towel finally, and so therefore this smooth transition may happen. That's also positive, because I think there was some angst around that. But I don't think the market's really pricing or paying enough attention to what's going on in Georgia, because that could once again then change the landscape come January 6th. And so while the market may rally into year-end, you know, you may get that Santa Claus rally as we typically do, I think you still need to be a little bit cautious.
I have a question for you, and if the market, since you and I started talking, the quote market has narrowed. If you and I are still doing this 15 years from now, and we can barely get enough stocks in the S&P 100 because there's only five banks left and five, are we still going to call it the market like we were young and when there actually was a market?
No, I don't think we can cut that point. I don't think we'll be able to call it the market. You know, they'll come up with some acronym for it, but I don't necessarily think it'll be called the market, because it won't represent what the market has always represented, right? So that'll be an interesting conversation. Although I have to tell you, in 15 years, I'm kind of hoping you and I are not doing this.
Maybe you'll be the Secretary of Treasury. I'll be working for you.
Listen, from your lips to God's ears, we can only hope that happens.
I look at the Janet Yellen, and I'm appalled by the pick, and just, you know, that's
why?
Just me. Some of it's personal because we had a gentleman on the show. I mentioned this earlier, who was in one of the first news conferences with her, and he asked her where the investigation into the people front running the Fed announcements was, and she was visibly pissed off on TV. Called his boss or somebody did at the Wall Street Journal, and he was never invited back, and eventually got let go.
Oh, really?
And to me, that is unconscionable, because that's a legitimate question. The people were running the hell out of their stuff, and I don't think anybody ever got that report, did they? I never did, or you did.
No, but you know, you and I can have that conversation. I mean, people are front running everything. How many? You know, you and I ask this all the time when Trump would make the announcement about China. The day before, they got themselves all positioned for what the announcement was going to be, and then the announcement would come out, the market would rally, and then, you know, the next day they'd reverse, or you'd run into a problem, and then the market would crash the next day. You know, all those days where you saw that volatility, you and I would say, okay, we should check all those trading accounts, because people have to know before this news is coming out that it's coming out, and they have to also know that the news is going to cause the market to either surge or collapse the way that we would see it happen. And so, yeah, I mean, you and I can have that conversation all day long, because I agree with you. where's the leak coming from? Who knows about it? Who's able to trade on it? And get all those accounts and lay them out flat and let everybody look at them, because I think it's baloney.
But my view, I mean, I just, again, as an individual, I'm sure if I ever sat down with her, I'd find her brilliant, engaging, and everything else. But she's one of the people, Kenny, that I think is part of the problem. The problem is the view of the world of people that are governing us is so narrow. Her view of the world is professors and banks. And
well, that may be true, and I will tell you, but, you know, I've had the pleasure of sitting in a room with her, not speaking to her one-on-one, but, you know, in a room where she was giving a speech, and it was a small enough room that people were able to ask questions. She is, just as you say, she's engaging, she's brilliant, she was well-spoken, clearly. I thought it was a very interesting conversation the night that we were there, you know, the night that I sat and listened to her. I really thought it was fascinating because at the time she was the Fed chair and it was kind of in the middle of that crisis. So there was a lot going on. I think it was fascinating to listen to her. I do, though, think, I think there's something good to be said that she would be nominated and coming in and would be able to work with the current Fed chair, who she worked with together at the Fed, that they have that same mindset. I view it as a positive. Clearly, the market views it as a positive, or at least it does at the moment. So we'll see.
Well, sure they will, because she's done nothing but give money to the people around her, the bank. She and Powell will never ask the question, how is it I'm giving you idiots money at 0% and you're still charging people 25% on credit cards? She will never ask that question. And I have a problem with that.
Actually, that's a fair question. That is a fair question, because why credit cards are still charging those usurious rates should be a conversation that Congress is having, because it's ridiculous, right? It's ridiculous. That's what's actually, you know, with money so cheap and credit cards still charging 25 or 30%, it's not helpful to anybody, especially people that are struggling, right?
Well,
you're right. That is a conversation you should have. Is that a conversation that she should have, or is that really a congressional conversation? Shouldn't that be Elizabeth Warren's conversation?
But she's the one that has given the money to these people for free. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, if I'm the person who makes sure that in a time of crisis that Polcari Tavern is getting free beer for 6 months, and I walk in and find out you just charged me $10 for a beer, I'm going to say, hey, Kenny, what the bleep? Right? I mean, this is something that should be right in front of your face. In that we have, I don't know if you ever listen on Thursday, we have a guy named Dan Janinas, and he's interesting, Kenny. You would like him. His firm digs around. It's a Southside term.
I know Dan. I'm the one who.
Well, you're the one who recommended it. That's right. But I mean, he went through last Thursday, a whole thing about where down the food chain does this all fall apart, and people are paying 10% for preferreds, and they're paying, you know, 8% for this, and they can't get a loan at the bank. And he's saying you're not too far down the chain, even if your firm has never had a problem and it's cash positive and everything, where all this stuff that these other people get, you don't get. I mean, he said it a lot more eloquently than I ever could, because he's saying at this level, you know, you're 2%, all of a sudden you're at 4%, then all of a sudden you're scrambling at 8%, and all of a sudden you're giving personal guarantees, even though you got a big, pretty good sized firm at 12%. You know, and how it totally disintegrates, not very far from the top. So there.
That's right. I'm due to call him after we hang up. That's going to be interesting, because I did not hear that conversation last week. I should go back and listen to you.
Dan's terrific. I mean, he knows that stuff like nobody I've ever come across. So he's
I know he's great like that. He's really great like that.
And he's not afraid to. He just said, "I said, Dan, you're talking about a firm that seems to be doing everything right, and they're paying 10%, for God's sake. Why aren't they paying 2% like Amazon?" He goes, "Oh no, you don't get too far down the chain, and all of a sudden you're scrambling, you know." And you know what, Kenny, that sucks. I mean, the Fed. How many times have you heard people's campaigns, Joe Biden's, Trump's, Clinton's, they're going to help small businesses? Can you think of anything in the last 25 years that has helped small businesses? No, I mean,
no.
But that would be our campaign theme too, wouldn't it? We're gonna help the little guy.
Yeah.
Hey, so are you traveling for Thanksgiving? You hanging? What are you doing?
No, we're hanging. Yeah, we're not traveling. We're hanging. I was up in New York a couple of weeks ago to see my daughter, who I won't see for Thanksgiving. So I was up there, but we're just hanging. It's gonna be me and my wife. I have a brother that lives down in Fort Lauderdale. My older daughter will come down and visit us, and so that'll be it. It'll be quiet. I might even go to the beach and just hang out. It's going to be beautiful weather.
Show off your pecs and show off your six pack.
Oh yeah, you want to? Yeah, I'll show off my six pack.
I'll have it right in my cooler. Well, Kenny, have a great Thanksgiving. But as usual, fun having you. SP Futures up 26.
You as well.
NASDAQ Futures up 34. I'll be right back.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here. What it is.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. I'm glad I got my Buffalo Springfield fixed back, you guys on the board. Yes, they didn't have it, and we're just like, God, where's Buffalo Springfield? SP Futures up 28, and NASDAQ Futures up 34. Do we have Mr. Who do we have?
Well, we're still waiting for Jeff, so it'll be you and me for a second until Jeff calls in.
All right, because so Jeff or Mike today, do we know?
Well, we think it's Jeff.
Maybe he's caught in the snow. Maybe he's shoveling.
Exactly. So hopefully he calls in here shortly. But I can, I can join you for a minute.
What? So how was L.A.?
It was great. For those that don't know, my wife was unemployed. She got laid off back in right near the start of the pandemic. I would say early April, and really liked her job and had a good job. But their entire client base was the hotel industry, and so it was very very quickly they had to start laying people off, and she was one of them, unfortunately. And then for 7 months, she was, up early, rigorously applying for jobs.
Oh, yeah.
She's not the type to sit around. And had a few interviews. A couple seemed promising. Nothing panned out. And then finally, after 7 months, she interviewed with the company a couple of times, and they put her through the ringer, and she's meeting with the chief marketing officer and everything. And then they made her an offer. And it was a good offer, and she accepted it. And so she starts the Monday after Thanksgiving. And she basically said, I know that we're not supposed to travel, and I know that, we haven't taken a trip in a long time, but we got to get out of here, and we got to celebrate before I start working, before Thanksgiving, everything. And so we decided, let's go somewhere warm. California was at that when we booked was not on the do not visit list, whereas like Florida and Texas and some of the other southern states were. So we decided to go to LA, and we went for just a long weekend Friday through and came back yesterday, and it was glorious. It was 75 and sunny, as it typically is in L.A., and you could sit outside. The restaurants were closed indoors, but they were open for outdoor seating everywhere. And in L.A., you want to sit outside anyway when you're having lunch and dinner.
Well, you got to be seen.
Got to be seen, and it's beautiful out. And so, yeah, she had never – I've been there – three or four times.
Plus, you got the gorgeous arm piece. You want to be seen.
That's right. But she'd never been there. And so that was part of it, too. So we found a little kind of boutique hotel that was right off Venice Beach, which that's an interesting area.
Oh, yeah. I've
never been there. And then, you know, so we spent some time in Venice.
See a few skateboarders?
Lots of skateboarders. Yeah, lots of bicyclists, lots of ladies working out. And guys, lots of surfers.
Is the rollerblading kind of out, or is that still okay?
No, it's still there.
Still there?
Yeah, it's more skateboarding now and longboarding, as they call it, which are the big long skateboards. But they're still rollerbladers. They're still roller skaters. We saw people on unicycles. I mean, it's a trip walking down the boardwalk at Venice Beach. It's still wild, even in COVID times. But the surfers are great because, they, of course, don't want to pay for parking because, a lot of these guys, I don't think, have jobs. They just surf. And so
that's their job. They surf.
So they find a free spot that's like three blocks from the beach. And so on every block, you see like three or four guys in their wetsuits, barefoot, carrying their board, and they're running through the streets heading toward the beach. all day long. It's hilarious. And something I've never done, but I would love to try sometime, is surfing. It was fascinating. It's a whole culture. And then you have, like, the beach bums that are literally bums that just sleep in tents on the beach and then get up and go surf all day, and, like, that's their life.
If you're working out that hard, you must have to eat something.
You would think, and I don't know how they're doing that. But it's a great city. It's just massive. It's just gigantic. I mean, you can go from like Venice Beach to like Hollywood is like 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's and that's with no traffic because there's hardly any traffic with COVID. So even for LA, the traffic was very light. But I mean, it's so massive. I mean, it's just, you know, Jill's like, God, the city like never ends, and it really doesn't.
We years and years ago, Maddie, before Maddie, our friend Robin, she's been on the show, she's been a contributor, Robin Spitali. We were boyfriend and girlfriend, and we've been friends ever since. But we went out there and talk about how the world was different. Her friend, Sue went to Northwestern. That's where they met because Robin was in the MBA program and Sue was in the Northwestern Journalism School, right? So she comes out and, the only job she could get was back when you had all these radio stations. Now they're all owned by a few people. Well, a lot of them are. And she ended up being a disc jockey on the all girls radio station. They played rock, but they had all girls. And she ended up being the news person for Fire Radio, which has now been bought. I think it might be it's the FM station now that I'm not positive. It might be the FM station that News Radio 78 bought. So they simulcast 105.9. I think that might
have been CKG or something.
Yeah, I think it might have been Fire. Anyway, I don't know. I'm not sure. But so she marries this guy who was a producer. He was the assistant producer of the Today Show. West Coast. Then he ended up being in Hill Street Blues, and which is real interesting because that show obviously was a huge. Anybody who worked on that show was considered to be kind of the genius. So the guy, Peter Bochco, I think he stopped the show, and then he ended up having his other show, Dookie Hauser, which lasted like a year or two and was horrible. And so it was his one bomb. So of course, in California parlance, he blamed it on everybody else but him. and then this guy became on the outs. But anyway, we stayed at their place. It was in Hollywood Heights. Wow, what a spot. I mean, talk about the views and stuff. And I was out back when I used to go running every night. I'm running along this thing, and they're trying to sell home sites. Man, you walk over to the side of the road. If you'd have jumped, you'd have landed, like, in the valley below. But if you'd have put, stuff into the hill... whatever, cantilevers, you could have built a house there. just on air, they were selling those as, like, home sites. I'm like, wow, you guys could... But we went, now, I would assume that, like, Universal Studios and stuff, none of that stuff's open. The
none of it's open, unfortunately. It would have been nice.
Yeah, we did the tour. That's really neat.
Universal Studios, any of that stuff. I think all that stuff is closed. The amusement park on the Santa Monica Pier, which we wouldn't have done anyway, but that was all closed.
Yeah.
a lot of that type of stuff is off right now, which stinks. But yeah, I've stayed up in the Hollywood Hills before, like a year ago or so, and it is something up there.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty.
It's really steep. The views are amazing. It's just interesting. The whole place is interesting.
We went to the Universal Studios, and we had spent the whole afternoon there. And then, of course, we go for a couple of drinks in this outdoor thing. And like Robin and Sue are going, "Hey, they think you're a producer. Knock it off, will you?" So, everybody's kind of wandering by. They thought I was like the new producer in town, because I look like an alderman anyway. So, but I thought Universal Studios was special. I mean, the soundstage. I didn't know that. Little known fact that when you can't even have an air conditioner, and I mean, we get so used to it that it'll be picked up on the mics. So you got to turn the air conditioning off when you do a scene. So with all the lights, the most you can get out of a scene, I think Maddie was like 2.5 minutes or something, before it gets so unbearably hot, people's makeup starts to run.
Really?
So, yeah. So then you break the scene and you go off. And that's why scenes are on TV shows and stuff are so short. But then they got X's on the floor where all the pieces of furniture are. And God help you if you like move a coffee table or something, because it'll be so weird in the show, because all of a sudden the table will like move in the middle of the show. I mean, it's the stuff you have to be careful of, you would never even think of.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff, like Gilligan's Island, was totally on a soundstage. And in the window, like you're looking out of like the hut, the stuff that's going on behind there, all the scenes of the ocean and stuff, that's just a movie going on behind the window. But, it was pretty cool. The back lot, they had...
Which I would love to see. I've never gotten to see that.
They had kind of a... But there was... Even some of these movies are old for you, but... There's a spot in the back lot where they have like this little cheesy L-Trex. And underneath it is this cafe and like a building next to it. It's all just fronts, right? So, but you can see where they could actually film. And if you remember the movie in the Natural, and in the movie the Sting, where the Natural where what's his name met the girlfriend in the cafe. Where the guy's making the lemonade. Remember that? Well, that was the exact same spot as in The Sting, where he went in and went up going out the bathroom window. It was the exact same.
They just reused that corner.
It was underneath the album. When the car pulled up with Roy Hobbs in it, and he got out, and she was waiting for him in the place, and they had the L's going by on top. That was that little spot where the like half-ass L tracks are like a block long either way, and that's all they need. And then you go by this other street where you see all these weirdo house fronts, and they're nothing but fronts. There's nothing behind them. There's a piece of wood holding up. And the guy goes, giving a tour, he says, can you say what shows that was the house front from? And I'm looking at it. You don't even sort of recognize it because it's just a front. But it was the same house front from the Donna Reed Show to Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best. I actually guessed all three.
That's great.
But I mean, they do amazing stuff when all of a sudden, like, they're doing something. And they had a spot where it was old Westerns. Now, what do you have to have in every Western downtown?
Well, I know this, of course.
Yeah.
You have to have a saloon, a general store, and a bank.
And a sheriff's office.
Have a police station with the one jail cell.
Yep. But they had like four of these, maybe 100 yards apart, and they could actually film four Westerns at the same time. And you'd look at this going, God, this is so cheesy.
Yeah.
How do they make it work? And yet, they can make anything work. They're absolute geniuses with this stuff. I mean, anyway, but it's too bad you guys missed that. But
I would love to have seen that. I know Joe would have loved to have seen that, too.
I don't know. Is Warner Brothers sort of the same? I've never been to Warner Brothers.
I'm told that it is, yeah. They're both great. And, you really should, if you have the opportunity, go to both of them. I also would have liked to have seen the new football stadium.
Oh, God, yeah.
I've heard it's spectacular, and it's mostly...
How many billion dollars?
Mostly underground, because it's so near LAX that they, they had... all kinds of rules for how tall it could be with the airplanes.
Why? What is the reason why the Dallas Stadium is mostly underground?
That I don't know.
I mean, when you leave the airport and you're driving, you get your rental car and off you go, it's really easy to be seen. I mean, there it is. I mean, it's quite a thing. And I think the field is 57 feet below ground.
Could be for the same reason. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it could be for heating and air conditioning.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're below. You're down there. Well, I think what also might be if you look at the ceiling in there, and this isn't exactly Stacks and Jacks, but it's somewhat interesting. That building is built. It's built exactly like if it was a bridge. If you look at those two things inside, look at, you know, the bridge they put up North Avenue?
Yeah.
Where you have which is essentially the same design on a much smaller scale as like your Golden Gate and those kinds of bridges. Where you've got the Golden Gate's a suspension bridge, so it's not like that, but where you have the abutments on each side and you've got essentially the arch that goes from one side to the other and everything hangs off the arch. All the strength is in that arch. So the two arches that go through the center of the place, everything hangs off that, the scoreboard, the roof, everything. So that's where all your strength is. And all the other stuff, you know, all the weight is on those two arches. So it's essentially a bridge with a building hanging off it for the stuff inside. So it's fascinating architecture. I mean, it's not like you build a bunch of walls and then you've got, you know, that's your place. I mean, the strength is in the middle. I mean, because how much that scoreboard weighs is like, you know, it's incredible. So that thing didn't have to be 50 feet higher. It's possible.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's quite a place. But I mean, that thing was, I'm going to say a billion something. The one in LA is like three times that, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll pull it up.
But I mean, it's there. But how was the flying and everything? Were you wearing masks? Would they let people drink and pull your mask down and have a coffee or what?
So, everyone is required to wear masks, not only on the plane, but in the airport. And that's pretty much, I mean, it definitely was at O'Hare and it was at LAX. I don't know if that's at every airport or not, but it definitely was at those two. When you're on the plane, we flew American, and it was probably about 75% full.
Middle seats full, they're okay, you
could
sit?
Yeah, you could sit all the seats, and they were not serving drinks on the flight like they normally do, and they announced that, we're not serving drinks on the flights. But if you brought your own drink or your own snack or anything like that, that was the time where you could put your mask down and eat or drink. But other than that, you were required to wear a mask the whole time. But other than that, nothing else changed. I mean, they definitely were more obvious with wiping everything down between flights, which was nice because I know they say they always do that, but you can kind of tell when they do and when they don't. But they were very clear to wipe down everything. And then they also, when you walked on, they handed you some disinfectant wipes and stuff like that if you wanted it, so you could wipe down. And they also had masks. If you ripped one or if you wanted a new one, they would give you masks.
You've used the same one for 6 months?
Right, exactly. So, you know, there was – but other than that, it didn't really feel that different. I mean, the L.A. flight's what? Like, it's – like 4 hours there, 3:15 back, or something like that. After a few hours, the mask gets a little uncomfortable. I mean, I will say that was the longest I've worn it without.
It's
you know, it's one thing when you pop it on to go into a store for 10 minutes and then you come back in. I mean, that's not even a big deal. I have no issue with that. But wearing it for 4 straight hours it definitely became you were very aware of it after 4 hours.
Yeah, it's I don't know how people are wearing them all day long, especially. If you're moving around, I mean, but people are. We didn't. I hope you didn't try and pay for the trip on our picks last Friday.
No. Yeah, Colin's picks struggled on Friday. Well, I'm just going off the top of my head. I know we took Wisconsin, who lost outright to Northwestern.
Well, they were. Is Northwestern?
Northwestern's undefeated.
They have. They have some linebackers look like they might be going to play on Sunday. I mean, the secondary stuff is pretty darn good.
Right. Yeah. Northwestern.
Five turnovers? If five turnovers, the quarterback's not bad.
Yeah. So he took Wisconsin -7, which that was a loss. He took Cincinnati -6, and that was a really good game, and Cincinnati won, but I don't think they covered the 6. So I have to pull that up. And then he had Eagles and Dolphins. Well, I know the Dolphins lost. What did the Eagles do? Did they? But he had them +3.
Yeah, I think they might have. I think they lost that one too. But they were all real close, all pretty, except for the Wisconsin. Boy, that was.
Well, what do you? Yeah, the Eagles lost by 5, so they didn't cover either. So 0-4 after his first full week of giving picks. It's like what you say, Chief, when you sign a new client, you don't want to lose your first trade. You don't necessarily want to win your first trade either. You kind of want to break even. You'd like to see him start 2-2. You don't want to start 0-4 and lose your
How many people, the worst thing that happens is your first day at the track. Well, actually, which would be the worst thing? The first day you went to the track, you lose all 10 or you win all 10?
It's a great question. I mean, obviously, I think you'd rather win all 10, but then you're really setting yourself up for a lot of disappointment after that. If you lose all 10, you may never come back. That might be a good thing.
I'll tell you a true story. I'm going to say I've probably been to the track a couple times since, but I went to the track young with my parents, who they like going to the track. It was on a Sunday. We went to Washington Park, and I went with, I don't know how much money. I won 5 in a row. We only got there for the last 5 races. And that night, they torched the track. It was the old put your ethnic group in there cocktail. All of a sudden, the thing went down, never got rebuilt. Madison Square Garden Corp. And for those that are not steeped in Chicago's track tradition, Washington Park was at one time before the tollway was probably a bigger track by far than Arlington. And Arlington had the train, but it was a train pretty close to Washington as well. But it was an awful lot of people. The south suburbs were very wealthy back in the day. And Flossmoor, those kinds of places, and Olympia Fields, and that's why all those golf courses and everything are down there. And Washington Park was huge. And then all of a sudden it, became less huge, and Arlington got a lot bigger. So there were four, but the flats, which would be the thoroughbreds, the flats is the term, they were at Washington for a while, they were at Hawthorne for a while, which is like the oldest track, and they were at Arlington for a while. And I think even in the spring, they might have been at Sportsman's for a brief bit. So then they kept cutting those tracks down. And actually, for a long time, after Washington got torched, when you went to Arlington and you bet on a race, half the time you were there, you'd get a ticket that would say Washington Park on it. Because Arlington essentially somehow got hold of the Washington Park dates when Washington Park didn't know whether they were going to rebuild again, but they knew they were never going to rebuild in that neighborhood again. It was like the place in Florida, Hialeah. Matty, if you ever saw a place more gorgeous in your life than Hialeah, I don't know where it would be. It was spectacular. It was a massive wild bird preserve. You wouldn't believe the different species of birds they had in the infield and all around that place. It was just, you just walk around and look at birds, and Frank would never have gone anywhere near the track. I mean, it was really, and then all of a sudden that place closed because the neighborhood's horrible. A lot of these tracks were really spectacular, some of these tracks. I mean, parts of the community and all that stuff. But anyway, let's get back a little bit about the market here and a little bit of the VIX, which we're missing with Jeff. Is we got the VIX is all the way down to 21.95. We've got copper rallying to beat the band, which is really unusual because it went way down so much. I guess that means that manufacturing is picking up in China, but none of the numbers really tell us that. But we have hey Jeff, how are you, bud?
Hey, how are you?
Were you out shoveling your car out or what?
Yeah, right. No, we just put another issue of Luckbox to bed. We just sent it off to the printer this morning,
cool.
And our December version is on its way.
How many printers are left doing that?
That industry, just like everything else, is really consolidated over the last couple of years. The biggest one, of course, Donnelly, was spun out of about 4 years ago. Donnelly was so big that they split up into two companies, and one that did more of the commercial printing for textbooks and reports and things like that, and the other one that was a pure magazine printer. And then they started acquiring everyone. They became a company called LSC and started acquiring all the printers out there. So a lot of them rolled up. But then when Newsstand got hit by pandemic, it got really, really rough for a lot of small printers. So there's LSC actually went into a bankruptcy, and that industry continues to consolidate. So the bottom line is printing of large national magazines is in the hands of about 2 or 3 players right now.
Believe it or not, my uncle used to be, he's been dead a while, but he was a guy that used to install and repair all these presses. And, that's why I knew something about the industry. And they had Dayton Press was huge.
Dayton Press, yeah. I'm not sure if they're still around. I
don't know, but he was always down there. And there was a place up in London, Ontario, that was huge too. I don't know who those guys were. He was always going up there. And then Donnelly, well, RH was the phone books, right? And RR was the everything right. else.
Yep. Yep.
So I don't know, do they even do phone books anymore?
I wouldn't see why.
I mean, I think yeah, we still get them once in a while.
Somewhere.
I think we don't get like
that. There's a payphone, there's probably a phone book somewhere.
Well, I mean, remember how big the old Yellow Page used to be? Wow.
Of course.
It was
of course. Big ad revenue, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I mean, they made money in those things. And
absolutely.
But there were some, and I don't think the Trib did any of that magazine printing, did they? I don't think they did. I think it was, if you were doing it in Chicago, was it Donnelly, probably?
Yeah, yeah. Chicago was Dayton Press, Rockford Press.
Yeah, oh, Rockford, was, another one. Yeah, Rockford Press.
Yeah, Rockport Press, I think.
So what's the what are you talking about in the new month?
It is the art and science of prediction. It is very much focused on. It's a forecasting issue, but not so much about forecasts, although we do that, but more of the art, science, and business of forecasting. We got deep with the folks over at Super Forecasting and the Good Judgment Project. That's a group that spun out of IARPA, and it's a result of some studies that were done. You may know the book Super Forecasters by Phil Tetlock and Dan Gartner.
I've seen it, yeah.
That came out about 6-7 years ago. It is the Bible of prediction, and it's all focused on the science of prediction. So, I don't know, we may have talked about something called blue zones sometime in the past. Those are the 12 areas in the world where people live as outliers 12, 14 years longer than the average person. And in blue zones, a guy named Dan Zeutner went around the world and, first of all, identified these places where there was this material outliers of longevity. And then he went back and analyzed what factors, scientific factors, were the source of that longevity and what they had in common, and developed this checklist of the 9 things that lead to longevity invariably, you know, as a result of purely scientific, kind of back testing. And essentially, that's what Super Forecasters has done. They created a universe of 50,000 forecasters, people forecasting just like you and me, or domain subject experts forecasting on every possible subject. And then for years and years, they ran tests and kind of separated the wheat from the chaff and got down to the people who just had this innate ability to forecast on all sorts of events, you know, vaccine development, what will be the hottest year on record, the hottest month on record, how many tornadoes there'll be, will Tesla come out, how many Model S's will they sell, what will retail sales be for during the holiday season, any type of question, political, business, cultural, climate, etc., and sought to identify what the common factors of their process was, and then identified them. So Super Forecasters to this day has, you know, several websites at the Good Judgment Project and Good Judgment Inc., and they have identified these people as super forecasters who represent the people that have the top 2% of forecasting accuracy in the world, and they have about 300 of them, super forecasters, and now they make money off of them, lending them out to companies and corporations forecasting things. They have a 30% higher degree of accuracy in terms of forecasting accuracy than IARPA and other, you know, prediction engines and algorithms, etc. So they've turned forecasting into a science and a business, and then they've taught people how to become better forecasters as well. So we focused really deeply on them and talked to their super forecasters, and I did some forecasting myself. I had 20 predictions for the next year and a half, and it's a fun and interesting issue, particularly for those people who, you know, seek to make money in the markets or.
Well, Jeff, hang on to that thought.
Gambling or political gambling or whatever the case may be.
This is fascinating. Why don't you hang on to that thought? Let's go to break here because I want to talk.
You got it.
Because obviously economic forecasting is tough to do. S&P futures up 28, NASDAQ futures up 40. Maybe just because I can't do it. I don't know. That's why it must be tough for everybody, Jeff, if I can't do it, right? We'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox. The Control Freak's Guide to Life, Money, and Probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. It's Matt Weber on the board. Matty, your favorite man here just came to become second richest man. Your buddy at Tesla. Dancing
Elon
around.
Elon Musk?
Yeah. I guess the stocks is nothing but go up every day, so it's
he's the second richest man in the world? Is that what you said?
That's what they're saying. Or he's getting these zeroing in.
Oh, I didn't even know he was in the conversation.
Oh, God, yeah.
I knew he's rich, but I didn't know he's that rich.
Yeah. And he's, I don't know how many shares he's got at Tesla. The stuff's up to 400 and some bucks. So we have an interesting market today. We got S&P futures up 29, call it 30, 29.75. NASDAQ futures up 44. Dow futures up another 335. We just keep ratcheting this stuff up. Boeing, the big mover, 646. Caterpillar up 222. CVX up 272. We've got Goldman Sachs up 3. Goldman Sachs absolutely celebrated the Janet Yellen thing. They've been straight up since they announced her as the person. That doesn't make her bad. I just, anything that's good for Goldman, I don't know if it's good for the rest of us. Just saying. Not that I'm lobbing that one out there, but I guess I just did. Over in Europe, we got rallies here as well. DAX up 138, 1.06%. FTSE up 76, 1.2%. CAC up 74, 1.4. So the Obama gang back together again. Janet Yellen, she's in. Who knows? The Ron father's gonna end up. Rumor has it, Manny, Secretary of Transportation. Can't say he did a whole hell of a lot for Metro or CTA here, but you gotta put these people somewhere. Nikkei up, get a little of 638, that's 2.5%. Shanghai down 11, they're the only, naysayer today, minus 0.3%. Hang Seng up 102.3, but those guys have been real in. Bonds, still, bonds can't go anywhere, 0.875%. The Bund, minus 0.57, it's stuck there. Japan, positive 0.03. Oil, up 50 cents, 43.56, so I don't know what exactly this administration is going to be positive for oil, but they evidently they're taking it that way. Brent up 47 cents, 46.53. Natural gas up 4 cents, 2.75. We got gold down $35, 18.02. Silver down 61 cents, 23.01. We're burying these precious metals, but copper's up 4 cents, 3.29. And here we got for us Trevi Weather Sports.
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We've had snowy conditions down south throughout the morning, and that's creating some issues on the area, expressways, roadways, and tollways. Currently, there's an issue on the northbound Stevenson right before Illinois 53, which is exit 267. There's a crash blocking the right shoulder, and that's causing congestion on I-55. South of there on I-80 near Joliet on the eastbound side at Chicago Street, there's a crash right on the ramp to Chicago Street in Joliet. That's exit 132 on the eastbound I-80. So those are a couple of issues that are impacting traffic this morning already. We did have a vehicle spin out on I-355 on the northbound side at 127th Street. It says it's a double trailer in the ditch just before the mile-long bridge. One of the trailers in the cab are on its side, so crews are arriving there to get that cleared up on I-355. So give yourself plenty of time, especially if you're coming from the south or southwest due to the snowy and wet conditions. Up north, not too bad, but heavy delays on the Kennedy, Eisenhower, and further inbound on the Stevenson due to slow traffic. Weather today, snowy conditions throughout the morning, and then the temperatures will rise, and that will turn into rain. We'll reach a high of 44. Right now, it is snowing and 36 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 72 today. Right now, it's clear and 54. In sports, Monday Night Football last night, it was a good one in Tampa, and it was the Rams upsetting Tom Brady and the Buccaneers 27-24. Chief.
Jeff, the lady who was the big predictor back in the 60s, long before...
Jean Dixon?
I think it was her. Didn't she predict the... allegedly predicted Kennedy's assassination and...
Yeah, I believe that's her name.
And she... she said the secret was...
that was Jean Dixon.
Yeah, she said the secret was to make a whole bunch of predictions. Because one or two of them, no matter how bizarre, are going to come true. And and everybody forgets about the ones that you were wrong on. They only remember the ones you were right on.
Yeah, well, that's really what the Good Judgment Project takes on first and foremost is accountability. You know, not only do they have their people forecast and train them to forecast, but their accountability for their forecasts, their track records are maintained, and they have to give a confidence level indication for each one of their predictions as well. So they can't just say something; they have to assign a confidence level prediction, and all that's used as part of their scoring and their track record. So unlike the talking heads on CNBC who make forecasts all day long, someone's actually keeping score in these cases.
Oh, God, yeah, you don't want to do that. You want to actually write this in. You never want to let the facts get in the way of a good story, Jeff. Hey, I got a question for you. I mean, one of the, obviously in the economic area, which I'm sure part of what you're talking about is in that area, but whenever you were in, well, I still remember a little bit of grad school, a long time ago, but whenever people, the professors would say, all right, write this, you know, be it a test or whatever it was, they would give you a list of assumptions, and then you would make your predictions based on what, you know, say here's where the country was when it was starting, based on these four assumptions, where's the economy going to be in 2 years, 4 years, that type of thing. And you would, but if you didn't have the assumptions, you were totally, you didn't know if you were on foot or horseback. So in the current world we are being hit by, shall we say, random events. I mean, even this year, I'm looking at the S&P. The Spider is up roughly 12% on the year, which is bizarre considering what's happened. But if you were to say, Jeff, at the beginning of the year, what do you think is going to happen to the S&P? And you go, man, I don't know. There's some debts, there's some something. And I think it's going to be flat. Okay, now, is Jeff an idiot, or would I say, which I think you are not, if I were to say, oh, by the way, some outside shock's going to hit, and somewhere between January and November, we're going to up the money supply by 30%, an unheard of number. I have a feeling Jeff's going to go, hey, I don't care what's happening, the market's going to be up, right? Because all we're doing is degrading the currency. It's, I mean, how does, when you make a prediction in today's world, how do you make it more than a day or two before all the assumptions change?
Well, the outliers have been obviously, for this year, that's difficult. We did the same thing with our own. We were essentially our own ombudsman in the magazine by looking back over our last year of forecasts and predictions, either from our editorial team or from outside contributors, and we identified the winners and losers. And our biggest loser was a very bullish projection on AMC theaters, and of course that was before the pandemic set in. So it was a loser, and you got to own it, regardless of these outlier factors that influence the prediction. But it's part of the process. Are you less forgiving that for someone who didn't weigh in an outside factor, and consequently that forecast or prediction was, does that make him any less accurate? The answer is yes. You're still accountable for your forecast, and the ability to factor it. That's what, and I'm no super forecaster by any means, and really have a respect for those who are. We interviewed three of them, again, people who were in the top 2% of forecasting abilities in the world, and they do have unique processes. It's a scientific process for them. They are not just pulling things out of the air. And, it's simplified. There's something called BIN, B-I-N, which is bias, information, and noise, being the three fundamental elements of the predictive process. And if you are able to eliminate noise, you are able to, particularly consider the last presidential election, for example, if you can eliminate noise, you can increase your accuracy, your predictive accuracy, by somewhere over 60%, typically 60 to 75%. But that's a difficult thing to do. Bias actually doesn't have as much of an impact as noise does, because often bias is formed by in some instances, facts. Not so much in the political realm, but when you start looking at the process scientifically, you have a lot more respect for it. So short answer to your question is, hey, you don't get a free out just because there was a global pandemic that hadn't occurred in 100 years.
I would say that if the assumption was that the money supply was going to go up 30%, that probably the person would have said the market would be up 25 or 30, in which case he's missed to the downside. And your question about the noise, that's one of the things that is really fascinated me about this business, and one of the reasons why I'm in it so long, is the noise and the huge events, a lot of times they're the same thing. It's all of a sudden something that was noise for a year or two, so all of a sudden one day somebody turns around and says, that's not noise, that's real, and then it's real. I mean,
only in people's minds. An example of that in the political cycle would have been Russia collusion. Russia collusion is all the media talked about for a year and a half, and then in the minds of many, many, many people, it became a real thing. That it actually, even though, millions of dollars later and 2,000 witnesses and, a full Senate or House investigation came back, no, there's nothing that could be prosecuted in the form of Russian collusion, and that, in fact, if anything, you end up finding out that, there were other factors that played a bigger role in the election. So, because I asked them for examples, and they are one of the principals I spoke to is a hardcore, Democrat and liberal, and said, well, this is not meant to be political, but noise is perfectly illustrated by, something like Russia collusion, where people assume it's an event and a fact as a result of the noise that was generated, yet it's not. So the point of that being that would have had in the minds of many those were parts of the scandal of the current White House, the outgoing administration, that was systemic to the Trump name, when in fact that was just noise and not viewed to be a factual determination of the election outcome by the electorate. So That's true. You know, when does noise can become fact? Sometimes it can be a precursor of something that is actually real. And that, I think, is one of the hardest things to do. But I thought it was interesting that noise has a greater impact on bad predictions than personal bias does.
Well, I'm always talking about, I mean, you're right. You're absolutely correct on the Russian thing. But the noise I'm talking about is economic noise are real things that are occurring that are treated as noise, and all of a sudden they're not. In other words, you could have for instance, the debt in 2008 didn't happen in one day. You know, it was there for months until somebody, the first place went under or the first person recognized and said, we got a problem. I mean, right now I see, you know, this increase in, non-performing loans out of China and those kinds of things. To me, that's real. I mean, and the amount of bankruptcies that are going to happen from this. I mean, the market has chosen right now because of a lot of other reasons, you know, Fed putting money in it and so forth, has chosen to totally ignore that. Now, it may get to the point where somehow we work our way through and it'll be like the Resolution Trust where we have a few crummy years and nobody cares that all these bars and restaurants open under new ownership and the first people got screwed and the second people got a good deal. We've done that a few times. I mean, it could turn out to just be noise that way, or it may not. It may just be a big enough number to where a few banks and a few straits go under and things like that to where it's no longer noise. It's hitting you in the gut. I mean, it's real numbers, Jeff. I guess whether or not it grows or not, I wouldn't, right now it's being considered noise. I wouldn't consider noise because it's real money to somebody. So I don't know where you define that. I guess I'm asking that question.
Yeah, and to be frank with you, you know, you start learning what you don't know, which is kind of part of the Luckbox mission always.
Yeah.
And I've become fascinated with this process, but I am, like I said, I am no super forecaster, even though I took a shot at some, you know, 20 forecasts in the issue, but I learned a lot about what I don't know about forecasting. So I don't know, you know, the critical factors of how you best separate what is true information from noise, you know, signal from noise, as Nate Silver would say, or, you know, how you determine what is bias and what is noise, and how you make those rational decisions part of the process. But the people that we spoke to do know that, and it's amazing to think that there are people, and we're not talking, you know, crystal ball predictive capacity, but scientific process and discipline that, you know, that account for their high predictive accuracy. So breaking those factors down was a really interesting thing to...
Because I always find, Jeff, I mean, the reason why I'm so fascinated by this is why I can't wait to read the magazine. I'm so fascinated by it because when I started in the business, it was absolutely the mirror image of today, where the market was absolutely flat on its ass. We're trading like 800 in the Dow. Interest rates are 15%. And somebody new from the outside looking at it going, the guys that were in there, the Joe Granvilles of the world and so forth, were absolutely convinced that this was the quote new normal. I don't know if they used that term at that time. Interest rates were always going to be here and blah, blah, blah. And a guy like me, I look at it and go, this is crazy. We're not going to be paying 12, 15%. And by the way, some of these companies that are trading for like zero, they've managed to hang in there and actually making a few bucks. And one of these days, these rates are going to start creeping down. And guess what? These, you know, that all of a sudden companies aren't going to be able to borrow at less than 15%, and this whole thing is going to swing. Well, to me, that was obvious in January of 1981. Well, if I'd have predicted that in 81, I'd have been the biggest dummy ever, and probably was, because I was long most of the year. Somehow or another, we stayed with this, quote, noise, even though it wasn't noise, Jeff. It was the orangutan in the room, for God's sake. We hung in there for... It was August of 82 before finally one guy says, you know, this could like go the other way. and it did. I mean, all of a sudden one day it wasn't noise. It was real. And I sort of see that today with the debt loads to the point where nobody seems to care. They're just grinding higher worldwide to what they're factors of year's GDP. I mean, this year we spent what, three tax years in one year? And, you know, and I guess it's noise until one day somebody doesn't pay. Now, I guess it's, the prediction is not, in the economic, in my side, it's not predicting what's happening. It's predicting when it's going to be recognized and what it makes a difference, which that's why I'll be fascinated to read. Was any of that addressed? Because I mean, what's happening is not a secret. I mean, it's just, when's it going to make a difference, if ever?
Well, you know, once you've identified what information is, then you have to, then there's degrees of materiality for that information. And that process as to how you rank and prioritize information once you've separated it, you know, from bias or noise, it becomes a process in itself. Because just because it's 90 degrees outside, that's not necessarily going to impact, you know, that might be a fact, but it's not going to impact your ability to bake a cake
right.
inside a temperature controlled home. So, you know, that the idea of what is material to what's a material fact, what's material information, and then ranking it, you know, is essential to that process. So I think that's what you're getting at too. And so, you know, Good Judgment Project and Good Judgment Open are websites for listeners to take a look
really?
At to that address all these things on a regular basis. You can even apply to become a super forecaster and see if you cut it. There's this must be about 300 questions on the site that allow you to start, you know, testing your forecasting capabilities, and then they'll track you, and then your forecasts are criticized by real super forecasters and evaluated, and maybe 2 years after coming on, you might be recognized as a super forecaster, of which there's actually money in it. There's companies then that enlist your prowess for pay, you know, for kind of corporate planning.
So how many interim steps are there between super BSer to super forecaster?
Well, none if you have a good cable show. Right?
I guess, but it's interesting because I'm fascinated by what you're saying, Jeff. Because I mean, forecasting in a lot of other areas, in terms of, you know, vaccines and population growth and politics, to me that's fascinating. And everything in my industry, it's not the forecasting of the events. I mean, I don't really need somebody to tell me this year debt's going to grow. I mean,
right.
I mean, I know that it's like the beacon on top of the building. It's the question is it going to grow to the point where it affects anybody to where they have to recognize it? Like, you know, I mean, a guy like Jay Pritzker is going along his merry way, and now he's absolutely convinced that no matter how much money he basically pees away, that he's going to get a check from the U.S. government. Now, I look at what the U.S. government is in deep hack here. And I'm wondering, I don't know if that's even possible or not, even if Biden wants to do that. So I'm looking at
where's that check coming
from?
Yeah,
I'm saying
right.
as to how you forecast whether that somehow happens or whether they devalue the currency enough to where the debts get less or something. There's an awful lot of stuff at play there that need to be forecasted almost before you come out with the answer that you're forecasting.
Yeah. Well, that brings two things to mind. One of them is that their most recent, the Good Judgment Project and Good Judgment Inc., their commercial enterprise, their most recent highly successful and accurate forecast was vaccine development. Back in February and March, when it became a question, they identified that vaccines would be distributed beginning, and this is really before Operation Warp Speed, they identified that January would be the primary distribution of an approved FDA-approved vaccine. That's an uncanny prediction, and you know that came out of their collective super forecasters, and all the pharmaceutical companies started buying their research. To maybe it became a self-actualized prophecy, because they realized that the timeline was going to be faster than you know what the market's been in the past to turn around FDA-approved vaccines, but they were highly accurate in their prediction of the development and the distribution of a FDA-approved vaccine, which is, you know, really, which was really interesting and timely to see.
Jeff, I was getting, somehow or another, somebody pointed one of
the... Oh, and the second thing I was going to mention is that one of my predictions, because you touch on it, is that the U.S. dollar will shed 10 to 15% this year before recovering. So that's kind of an outlier.
See, when you say that, I'm going to say it already has, because Here's the.
That's a 2021 prediction.
No, no. What I'm saying is, what you're going to find out is what's happening now. Again, this is when my opinion, and you can obviously fire back at me. I agree with you, but it's like the CPI now. It's not measurable. Because
I would have to probably give you a hat tip to this because I think it's my exposure to you over the past year that has helped shape that thinking that there's actually a shadow reality that's not being reflected in the data where this is essentially already occurred and now it's just time for the numbers to catch up to that reality.
Well, but
I can't help but thinking your name should be on that.
Well, what I'm saying is you have a. If you were to lob onto CNBC today, see, they'll take you. They wouldn't want me anymore. If you come on there and you say, I think the dollar is going to go down, somebody would instantly, before you stop your last syllable, is going to pull up a chart about the U.S. dollar versus the euro, the U.S. dollar versus the yen, the U.S. dollar versus God knows what. That's not what you're talking about.
That's not what you're talking. It's not what you're talking about. Right?
Well, but and really not what you're talking about because you didn't say it's going to go down versus somebody else because that central banker is doing the exact same thing ours is. So what you're gonna have to say is, well, based on Apple stock, okay, Apple stock is now doubled because we doubled the amount of money. Well, duh, did Apple stock really go up or not?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that you're not gonna get. I'm gonna say there's 0.1% of the people in the world are gonna know what the hell you're talking about, because everybody, especially in the Midwest, what do you mean? I've got $5 in my pocket. How's that gonna change? Because that's the way we've been raised. That's the way we'd spent our whole life. I mean, nobody really cared if the dollar went up 10% versus or down 10% versus the pound, because you and I every night weren't in a bar in London and our beer just went up 10%, right? People go back and forth to Canada have some sense of it, but how many people do that? I mean, we just don't have a sense of that here, and we're not going to get it until all of a sudden. But no, right now I think that the market right now is actually down on the year. If you look at the amount of money that's poured in, so the money supply is up 29% and the market's up 12%. To me, it's down 17%, based on dollars, which I think is what you're saying.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Who other than me can you have that conversation with?
Well, like I said, I'm having that conversation likely because of you.
Well, I mean, it is
probably the case. In fact, speaking of the richest men, that entered into the predictions as well, and it's true. Yeah, Matty Musk moved into essentially a tie with Gates. I think it's somewhere around $120 billion.
Who's won?
But Bezos is up at 180.
He's won. Okay,
his richest, and then Gates and Musk are tied for second. And Bezos ended up in our prediction twice. One of them is a spinoff of AWS to come over the next 12 months from Amazon, just as a preemptive action against the uniting of forces like, you know, Warren and Cruz coming after monopolistic behavior. And then the other is that Bezos buys CNN, which I think there's a realistic shot at. So those were two predictions that included Bezos.
Well, when you have 10 people that want to control the whole place, they ought to control the news media, don't you think?
Yeah, well, he already owns Washington Post, so
yeah,
why not, right?
Why not? Hey, we have more stuff to talk about next week, because you always get me to more. That's the beauty when you have a guest on to lead you to more questions than answers, because there's always, you got to have the questions first, right? You have the answers, right?
Well, we'll have, I'll get the advance issues to you as soon as we get them from the printer, so you can take a look, or can go to getluckbox.com and just sign up for the free digital magazine. But yeah, it will be an interesting issue. There's so much to learn about prediction and good judgment, and it's really refreshing to know that there are people who are actually real experts at prediction, as opposed to this being some sort of goat entrail or crystal ball, you know, domain.
Can they predict people's future ex-wives?
Go. Let's hear it.
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, that entered my prediction. That's one of them. But that was an easy one.
Well,
Melania and Trump. That's one of my 20 predictions.
I accused of Kevin and Frank of the Theranos girl who's going up on trial as being both of their future ex-wife. And Frank says, not on your life. Kevin goes, I already got an ex-wife. I don't need another one. Anyway, Jeff, thank you. SP Futures up 27. NASDAQ Futures up 47. Back tomorrow, Stacks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.